Not long after that, on a lovely still evening when there was no breath of wind anywhere, my father said to me, "This is just the right weather for a fire balloon. Let's make a fire balloon." He must have planned this one beforehand, because he'd already bought the 4 big sheets of tissue paper and the pot of glue from Mr. Whitten's bookshop in the village. And now, using only the paper, the glue, a pair of scissors, and a piece of thin wire, he made me a huge, magnificent fire balloon in less than 15 minutes. In the opening at the bottom, he tied a ball of cotton wool, and we were ready to go. It was getting dark when we carried it outside into the field behind the caravan. I held the balloon upright while my father crouched underneath it and carefully poured a little meths onto the ball of cotton wool. "Here goes," he said, putting a match to the cotton wool. "Hold the sides out as much as you can, Danny." A tall yellow flame leapt up from the ball of cotton wool and went right inside the balloon. "It'll catch on fire," I cried. "No, it won't. Watch." Between us, we held the sides of the balloon out as much as possible to keep them away from the flame in the early stages. But soon the hot air filled the balloon, and the danger was over. "She's nearly ready," my father said. "Can you feel her floating?" "Yes. Shall we let go?" "No, not yet. Wait a bit longer. Wait until she's tugging to fly away."
"She's tugging now."
"Right. Let her go." Slowly, majestically, and in absolute silence, our wonderful balloon began to rise up into the night sky.
"It flies!" I shouted, clapping my hands and jumping about. Up and up it went, rising very fast now in the cool night air. It was like a magic fireball in the sky. "Let's follow it," my father said, "and with luck we'll find it when it comes down."
We ran to the road. We ran along the road. We kept running.
"She's coming down," my father shouted. "The flame's nearly gone out."
We lost sight of it when the flame went out, but we guessed roughly which field it would be landing in, and we climbed over a gate and ran towards the place. For half an hour we searched the field in the darkness, but we couldn't find our balloon. The next morning I went back alone to search again. I searched 4 big fields before I found it. It was lying in the corner of a field that was full of black and white cows. The cows were all standing round it and staring at it with their huge wet eyes. But they hadn't harmed it one bit. So I carried it home and hung it up alongside the kite.
"You can fly the kite all by yourself any time you like," my father said. "But you must never fly the fire balloon unless I'm with you. It's extremely dangerous."
"All right," I said. Then there was the tree house, which we built high up in the top of the big oak at the bottom of our field. And the bow and arrow. And stilts that made me 10 feet tall. And a boomerang that came back. And for my last birthday, there had been something that was more fun, perhaps, than all the rest. For 2 days before my birthday, I'd been forbidden to enter the workshop because my father was in there, working on a secret. And on the birthday morning, out came an amazing machine made from 4 bicycle wheels and several large soap boxes. But this was no ordinary whizzer. It had a brake pedal, a steering wheel, a comfortable seat, and a strong front bumper to take the shock of a crash. I called it Sopo. And just about every day I would take it up to the top of the hill in the field behind the filling station and come shooting down again at incredible speeds. So, you can see that being 8 years old and living with my father was a lot of fun. But I was impatient to be 9. I reckoned that being 9 would be even more fun than being 8. As it turned out, I was not altogether right about this. My 9th year was certainly more exciting than any of the others, but not all of it was exactly what you would call fun. You will learn as you get older, just as I learned that autumn, that no father is perfect. Grown-ups are complicated creatures, full of quirks and secrets. Some have quirkier quirks and deeper secrets than others, but all of them, including one's own parents, have 2 or 3 private habits hidden up their sleeves that would probably make you gasp if you knew about them. The rest of this story is about a most private and secret habit my father had, and about the strange adventures that it led us both into. It all started on a Saturday evening. It was the first Saturday of September. Around 6 o'clock, my father and I had supper together in the caravan as usual, Then I went to bed.